Welcome to another episode of Free Basketball. I am your host, Ryan Meadows, and today is another solo pod. We're going to be talking a couple things that happened over the past week, but this is an interesting week because the conference finals are still going on, most of them. We just got through Game 3 with the Warriors and the Mavericks, the Warriors taking a commanding 3-0 lead. The Warriors just... they were down a little bit, looking like they were going to roll over in the second quarter against the Mavericks and get blown out. But instead, it was the Dallas Mavericks who rolled over in Game 3 at home, which, of course, if you're going to roll over in Game 3 in a must-win crucial game, then the series is done. You may win Game 4, but if I'm the Warriors, you're smelling blood in the water. They rolled over Game 3, which was a must-have, shot terribly again for the Mavericks. I'm trying to sweep this now. So I would fully expect the Warriors to close this out in Dallas 4-0. If not, it's done in 5, which is pretty disappointing, which I would say has been the story of this conference finals. Average win margin each game so far through 6 games total in this, 14 points per game. Margins, 11 points, 25 points, 25 points, 9 points, 6 points, 9 points. So they have gotten closer. But in the feel of these games when you're watching, they're not really that close. I don't know if anybody's actually seen this and been like, oh, this is highly dramatic. I actually tweeted out the other day about the Heat-Celtics game, like, oh, maybe we're going to actually get a close game and it's going to be interesting for once. Nope, not really. A little dramatic for a few minutes, but then it was just another almost 10-point blowout. So this conference finals has been pretty disappointing, I think, overall, even though all four teams are good teams. I'm not blaming the teams for this, but they have not been a good finals. They have not been competitive so far. The only chance of this being a competitive Eastern or finals, conference finals, is if the Heat Celtics have a couple more bloodbaths in them. So all indicators show that this Celtics Heat series is going 7 games. The Heat are up 2-1 with Game 4 tonight in Boston. But it's basically a war of attrition. I mean, the Heat have like 8 guys listed questionable for this game tonight. It seems like both teams are doing this almost every game. You never know who is playing. So for you gamblers out there, I know you're pulling your hair out just waiting for news to see what you're going to play. So this is the only chance to salvage the Eastern Conference playoffs and the conference playoffs in general, is if the Celtics Heat for these last 4 games just have knockout dragouts, because besides that, it's been extremely anticlimactic and has been kind of like that for the past couple weeks. So I don't know if that's an indicator that we're going to have a fantastic NBA Finals wrought with drama, but all indications are saying that's not going to be going to happen. But other little notes for the Warriors. Steph, Western Conference Finals MVP to me right now. The series ended, although there is a big Andrew Wiggins buzz push, which this seems to happen every time with the Warriors. And Steph is just such a complimentary star and a supportive and a sacrificer. This is why he's gotten as many championships as he has and is on the path to another championship. Is because he doesn't really care if he gets that award or not. So I think that's why Wiggins is getting all this buzz and with no pushback. But Steph should be the Western Conference Finals MVP. The Eastern Conference Finals MVP is kind of up in the air. Jaylen Brown had a really nice game, even though he turned the ball over, it felt like 50 times. Just doesn't know how to dribble competently, which really confuses me. But he still had a 40-plus point game. I don't know who you'd put as the favorite. That the Heat come out of that, obviously it's probably going to be Jimmy Butler if he's averaging 30 points per game. For the Celtics, they'll probably just take the highest point scorer in the name, and it's Tatum. But I think that's more wide open series, more interested by that one. But the Mavs rolled over Game 3. They got the Kevon Looney. They got Looney'd in Game 2. Kevon Looney with a nice 20-20. The Mavs are just, they're throwing up threes, and I get it's efficient. I get it's what gives them the best chance to beat the Warriors, and it's the best analytical style, but when it's not working, it looks terrible. And just ask them about Game 3 and all the fans who are probably in attendance, probably pulling their hair out, wish they weren't so quote-unquote analytical and efficient and would actually go to the basket a little bit instead of staying around the perimeter, watching Luka, James Harden it up, and then hoping to get a kick out for a potential 3. But the funny thing about this series is this happens every time a younger team, quote unquote, makes the Western Conference Finals that hadn't been there before. You heard it from Luka and Jason Kidd last night in their press game pressers. Look, we're a young team and we're learning. This is, quote unquote, just the beginning. Look, that's a bunch of crap. Okay? You've sucked. Let's be honest. You've been really, really bad. And every team that gets to the conference finals that's never been there before with their core, this is the excuse they give out when they get dog stomped. Okay? We're young. This is just the beginning for us. We're learning on the fly. This is great for us. No one expected us to be here. This is just the start of our journey. Crap. If you've been an NBA basketball fan as long as I have, you know for a fact that saying that you're young and this is just the beginning means nothing, because it is so hard to get to this point, which is why it's all respect to the Warriors from being here for what, the sixth or seventh time in their run together as a core unit. It is very, very difficult to repeat and come back to the Western Conference Finals. So I would say it's more likely that the Mavericks don't get back to the Western Conference Finals again instead of actually making another one. And I know that seems crazy to say because Luka Doncic, great player. I love him. Top three, top five player. But we know NBA history. We know how this goes. You are not guaranteed anything, even though you're quote-unquote young. And they're not even really that young. It's all for higher players that they put around Luka. They've switched pieces and switched pieces and switched pieces. So this is no guarantee that you're going to return. So I will make the bold statement that they will actually not return to the Western Conference Finals for a long time. So this excuse that we're young and learning is just the beginning, I can't stand it. Like, every team does it, though, when they get here and they get stomped. So all credit to the Warriors. This is a Warriors championship this year. Look, they're getting the injury luck. The East Conference, it's just beating each other up. The Western Conference, they got lucky with the fortunate of playing the Nuggets. It's just Jokic, the Grizzlies, Dillon's out, Ja is injured. But the thing is, I'm not upset about it. Usually I'm kind of upset and point out about the injury luck champions. But if you have to take a step back and look at it, the Warriors deserve this one. They've played the games. They've won the series. You can't be mad at them for if they get the injury luck. They've actually gone out there and still won the basketball games. And this is repayment for what happened to them in 2019. That was a three-peat championship that they should have had. And then they just had the injury bad luck with Klay and with Kevin Durant. And then Klay's out for another 2 years. So this is totally deserved. I believe strongly in basketball karma and the basketball gods. This is repayment for the hell that the Warriors have been through for the past 3 years with the injuries to Klay, a fan favorite, great basketball player, diminished now, but still a fantastic basketball player. The guys are getting older. I certainly don't expect the Warriors to make a run again next year if they bring it all back, but this is their time. This is their swan song to me, and this is their last time they're going to win a championship with this core group together. So injury luck or not, I think the Warriors deserve it. They deserve to be here. You can't be upset about it, and I'm not upset about it because if you were paying attention to or following along all year, I gave power rankings and power rankings update. Guess who always had the Warriors in the top two to top five teams all year long, even when they were playing terribly during that stretch in January all the way up to the playoffs? You're right. It was me. I had them top five, top two for most of the season. I was not going to waver in that fact. You were not going to shake me. And I've been proven right about that, even if there's a little bit of luck to it. But congrats to the Warriors on their championship. I just don't see either the Heat or the Celtics being able to actually beat them unless the basketball gods rear its ugly heads again and cause the Warriors to lose another championship because of an injury. But I do not think that happens. I think they're going to be repaid in full for what happened to them in 2019. Robbed of a championship then and a masterful three-peat. given one more chance before they all ride off into the sunset together, Klay, Draymond, and Steph. So let's get into this final thing. This is going to be a very short episode today, just trying to get some content out there. Not taking a lot of your time, so hopefully this is something easy that you can listen to on the way to work. But if you also follow us, then you obviously have heard Daniel on this pod before plug Grizz901. You should go follow him over there at Grizz901. I have come up with a conspiracy theory about the Grizzlies in the Grizzlies Warriors series. So that episode is probably out today. If it's not already, it'll be out later. You should go check that out and see what you think about it. Because if you know me at all, I love conspiracy theories. I love just kind of inventing drama that might actually have some substance to it. So go follow Grizz901. Go listen to that episode, probably out today. Go follow the Leeds Podcast Network. We have a lot of shows doing a lot of great things. WNBA show that we have is absolutely killing it. Hooper's Log, Let's Make Moves. Everybody on the network is working hard to try to improve, and our listenership is growing. So thank you guys for continuing to listen, share, rate, review, tell your friends, as Cody would say. So we always appreciate your support. And also go follow Bet the Lead. I am part of that with Daniel and a couple others. We have a Discord channel that we're all in there making messages, putting up plays. So we like to gamble a little bit. We have fun with it. Very responsible, obviously. No one's going crazy, going broke. But we like to have fun to talk about the games, the props, what we're playing, what we should look at, what's going on in the game. So it's a fun community. We haven't had any kind of weird, let's say, troll type people trying to fight us yet. So I'm sure eventually that might change as it grows, but it's been a fun little bubble for now. So go follow Bet the Lead at Bet the Lead as well. So this final thing before we get out of here, the draft lottery happened last week as well, which if you know me, you know I'm obsessed with the draft. The draft lottery is just like a second Christmas for me. So the lottery itself, the results, the Orlando Magic got the first pick, the Oklahoma City Thunder got the second, the Houston Rockets got the third pick, the Sacramento Kings got the fourth pick, and the Detroit Pistons got very bad luck and got the fifth pick. Although you can kind of argue that they'll get the better of the pick that's left over from Rockets and Kings, because you know those two teams are going to screw it up. But obviously with the Magic getting the first pick, everyone's excited for that really young core that they have. Added Jalen Suggs last year, Franz Wagner. That, like, they've got all these young pieces, Cole Anthony, Mo Bamba, Wendell Carter. They're just putting a lot of interesting young pieces together. So I think everyone's very interested which big player they're going to go with, because if you've read any mocks or kept up with it at all, the top three prospects in this draft are all big men. And I will say this, anytime I see a draft, I've tried to learn from all of my mistakes in the past with predicting players, and still always going to make mistakes, not going to be perfect, obviously, going to be way off, but anytime I've noticed a draft that has had the top prospects in the past decade have been three big men, that draft class ended up being terrible. Okay, maybe terrible is not the right word, but it's been pretty bad. It usually is a sign that if the top three prospects are big men, now in the NBA, with the way the NBA is played, the guards are weak. If you had weak guards in a draft class, that equals a bad draft class. Has anybody been watching the NBA at all the past couple weeks? What has stood out more to you, the prolific big men or the guard play? The only answer is the guard play. So with all these mocks that you see coming out, and the top guard is Jaden Ivey, and he's been going five or six, either these mocks are completely wrong, or Jaden Ivey and the rest of the guards are not very good. So obviously one could be wrong, and I like Jaden Ivey. I think he'll be pretty good. I think I would take him top three. I certainly wouldn't draft three bigs in the top three. Because you know two of the three of them are going to be busts. The NBA is a guards league. And I get it. We're enticed by some versatility of the big man. Oh, he can shoot the three. He can protect the rim. Oh, he can handle the ball. He can do blah, blah, blah. We know two of the three are probably going to be busts. The most likely, the safest pick in a lot of these drafts now is just take the best guard. Who cares about the ceiling or potential? Take the best guard. So if you believe in Jaden Ivey, I would take him top two or three. And I know that sounds crazy. Everybody's got him mocked four down. But just, we've been doing this too long, people. We know that not all three big men are going to turn into all NBA centers. So most likely two, maybe all three of them are going to be complete failures. So just ask DeAndre Ayton how his situation is going in Phoenix. Ask Marvin Bagley how it went for him in Sacramento. Luka Doncic, come on. We're seeing it right now in the NBA. Ayton, Bagley go 1-2, and both teams made a mistake, even though Ayton's a good player. Both teams made a mistake and didn't take Luka. So we're going to look at this draft and see three big men prospects, Chet Holmgren, Paolo Banchero, and Jabari Smith. And we're going to say, yeah, these three for sure. There's no way I would ever take a guard over these three. Completely false. You need guards. You want guards. So if you like and evaluate Jaden Ivey to be actually really good, which I do, you got to take him in the top two. You could even probably even make an argument for him to go number one. That's just how the NBA is now. So take the risk at one. If you're the Magic, I get it. And the other thing is they're looking for fit, quote unquote. I never got that. Why are you drafting for fit? Well, we got a bunch of young guards. I can't add another one, even though that other one may be better than the ones I already have on my roster. I've got to take a big who actually fits my construction of my roster. So if you're the Magic and you're drafting that way, now I know in the past with their president, they like length, they like versatility, they like all this crap. They have all these indicators that they like. What has it done for them? Nothing. They've failed for years and years and years. But they're going to continue to go into the strategy because that one time they got Giannis Antetokounmpo. That one time they got lucky with Giannis. So we're going to keep drafting that same player until we turn out to get another one. It's a failed draft strategy. It's a failure to just go for length and versatility when it's the fit of your roster and not just go with the best player. So if you've got a bunch of guards already and you're taking one of these three bigs because it fits your team better, you're screwing up already. You've already set your franchise back another year. If you evaluate that Jaden Ivey or some other guard is the best guard and you think, well, you know, they're the best guard, they're probably the best player, then take him number one. That's all I'm going to say. Just take him number one. Who cares that you have a bunch of guards already? If Jaden Ivey's going to come in and be better than Suggs and Cole Anthony, which FYI, I think he will be, then why wouldn't you take him? Take the best player. Don't be stupid. So that's my endorsement and that's my comments about the draft. We'll obviously have a lot of episodes about this coming up. You know I have to do a bunch of draft stuff. Me and Daniel over on the Grizz 901 are doing a bunch of prospects for the Grizzlies. You know I'll be doing a lot of stuff here with mock drafts and draft boards. So that's my first little rant about the NBA draft already. So obviously it's going to be controversial because Jaden Ivey is projected to go 4-6 right now and it's three bigs at the top. No, thank you. I do not want to be top three looking to draft a big. It's just not the NBA now. So, yeah, they'll probably hit on one of those bigs. Or guess what? All three could be good, and I could end up looking like an idiot. Wouldn't be the first time, won't be the last. But we going by history, you need the guards. Okay? The guards run the NBA. So that's our episode for this week. Hope we get a good game four tonight, Boston-Miami. I'm pulling for Boston. I think they win. I think it's another blowout. I think that the Celtics probably win by 10+. So if you're playing any betting lines, the Celtics -6.5, probably a good line. But Marcus Smart injury, everyone seems to be hurt. You know, so who knows? You just never know with these teams in these games. But I certainly expect the Celtics to even it up, heading it back to Miami on our way to a 7-game hopefully interesting series. So thanks for tuning in. Everyone have a good week. We'll see you guys next Monday.